Good day to you all, and welcome to another edition of TWIM, This Week in Mormons. Nice to be here. Yeah, nice to be here with all y'all today. How are you, Al?
I'm good. I was doing our riffing music coming in.
Oh, yay for the
riff. I'm good, man. It is my birthday today.
What? You mean, happy birthday to you.
Oh,
happy
Jeff.
Birthday to you.
Oh, Jeff, you didn't have to do that.
Happy birthday, dear Al. Happy birthday to you.
That was magical. Wow. Yeah, see, that's the one thing about living alone is I don't get anybody singing in romantic tones to me like that. That was great.
I was bummed that you announced it was your birthday. Because I was playing this whole thing like you thought I would have forgotten and I didn't know any better. And I was just going to surprise you with the song that I made up.
The song that you call
It's called Happy Birthday. It's your birthday, it's true. Doobie-doob-doobie-doob-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, you even riffing this song. Wow. Well, see, I was convinced you had forgotten. And so I thought I would just lead in and say, hey, let's get this out of the way right now.
I'm glad. Well, I did convince you then. Nope, it's your...
You're very gracious, man. And you're playing a lot of guitar today.
All right. Sorry, I'll do that all the show, so I'm gonna take the guitar away. That'd probably be the safe thing to do. Happy birthday, Al.
Thanks, dude. No, it's been a lovely day. I had church this morning, and then I've slept, watched a movie on TBS.
Which movie?
Really everything I could want. Because I'm leaving town in the morning, so I'm like doing laundry and packing. It's a very mundane birthday.
So the Boulder...
Low-key.
The Boulder days are over.
They certainly are.
Kind of sad.
We're off to new adventures. Off to Ukraine on next Wednesday.
And you all need to stay tuned because we are going to simulcast this sucker.
It's going to be amazing.
Yes, we are.
One of us will be awake at 3 a.m.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out the time change thing. That's going to... Because, yes, Ukraine is 10 hours from California. It's 10, right? Yeah, it's 10.
Yep. Yeah. 8 hours from Kansas City, that's right.
It's going to be good figuring that one out. But we'll make do. Shouldn't be
one of us will be awake early.
Let's look at it this way. I'll get up in the morning, you know, at like 9:30 or 10 or something, and we do it then. And what time is it for you? It's like 8 at night. You'll just be hanging out eating some pierogies or whatever. Vareniki.
Singing the Al song.
Yeah. Oh, the Al Don song. Al Don. I...
Vaya called me on Skype today, and we were reminiscing in preparation for the reunion.
You know, and I could still play the Al Don song on the time.
One of the most epic tunes ever.
Especially when you busted out like the Beastie Boys rap in the middle of it. That was awesome.
Mama Toya, Mama Toya.
And that too. Oh, the memories. See, for those who weren't there, which is all of you, except for also a birthday shout out to Lauren today. For those of you who have seen the interpretive tree dance video that we posted on the website a couple weeks ago. The other
you'll remember Lauren from
both of those men. It is their birthday today, so happy birthday to Al and to Lauren. Exactly the same age. That's weird.
Are we really?
Yeah, you're both 28 now.
Wow.
Sorry, was your age not supposed to be publicly disclosed or anything like that?
No,
okay, because you know we need to keep secrets sometimes, and that's okay.
No, I'm totally cool with it. So, yeah, pretty good week. Anyway, we wrapped up my program out here, finished stuff up, and closing ties.
Hey, what about that whole thing where someone sliced open your arm?
I had surgery on the arm.
How was that?
That was pretty glamorous. I was able to pay for the surgery on my arm.
No, you weren't able to pay for it.
Well, I was billed for it, is what I mean.
Ah, and remember, friends, we have started the Save Al's Arm Fund. You all need to click on the link on the webpage and give even just $1. $1.
But you're all very, very gracious to support me so. very kind.
It is. We appreciate your donations, but we just encourage you. Nothing big. A dollar. Maybe even if it's $5 max. Whatever you want to donate is fine. It's anonymous. You're good. Your data is protected.
We won't be reporting this to anyone.
Everything's fine. Just donate some money and let's help Al out. Now, Al, you do have to publicly apologize for not having catastrophic insurance.
I do hereby publicly apologize for not having any insurance.
And you need to say that you will have catastrophic insurance.
And I hereby commit to having catastrophic insurance as soon as I am fit for the health examiner.
Good. I hope you've learned your lesson from this ordeal.
How's your week been, Jeff, while you're kicking me while I'm down on my birthday?
You schmuck. Anyway, the birthday has been the birthday of the week. Has been fine. What did I do this week? So it was eventful. Ah, I went to the OC Fair. Always a good time. Ugh. Orange County Fair is a big production, so it's fun to go. Did you ever go to it when you were here?
Of course I did. I had, I believe, deep-fried avocados and deep-fried Twix bars or something of that nature.
Yeah, I had deep-fried Snickers and also, I guess, deep-fried Reese's. Reese's makes some sort of whipped peanut butter candy bar, which I'd never heard of before, but there it is. They make it. And I had them both deep fried, and it was pretty good. I admit I was disappointed, though. Having been familiar with deep fried goodies from living in Scotland, as you might recall, they do deep fried Mars bars in Britain at the fish and chip places. And now a Mars bar in Britain is different than here. There are no almonds. It's basically a Milky Way, more or less.
Right.
And they deep fry it. But there it's fried. It's what I expected at the fair. You know, they dip it in a batter and fry it, and it looks like the candy bar, but bigger, and it's got a crunchy fried exterior. These are
almost as if they deep fried.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what you'd assume. At the fair, they were either prefab or something, but they looked like corn dogs on the outside.
Ugh. Ugh.
It's like they didn't dip them in a batter. It was like in this corn batter, and then they dipped them, and they were good, but I was expecting, you know, really bad, crunchy, deep fried Snickers. So I did enjoy it, but I felt far less guilty because it didn't even feel that bad. It wasn't great. When I've had a deep-fried Mars bar before, you feel like physically ill the entire time you're eating it. It's awesome.
I can only imagine.
I know.
I'm just like Keith Urban.
I don't know what that means.
I can only imagine.
Is that a song?
That is a song.
I don't know any of these things. Oh, but the fair was wonderful. Did that, and then I also got Australian potatoes.
What is that?
If anyone's from Australia,
scalloped them,
assuming? It's basically like they scallop potatoes and then batter them and fry them as well. And we could barely down the plate. The upside is, economically, it's $7 for a plate, which is a lot, but one person could never eat that. So you split it between two, possibly three. So at the end of the day, not too bad for a little treat.
Oh.
So
it reminds me of the funnel cake.
Oh, I love funnel cakes.
And the whatnot.
Anyway, good to go to the fair. Went on some rides. Went on a fun house that was called the Moscow Circus. And it was pretty good stuff all around. And then I did something. Oh, Friday night. Hello. I went to the Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach.
I remember we went down to that last 2 years ago.
You went to it?
And then we just walked around the art gallery festival, like the wood chip place.
Oh, you're thinking of the Sawdust Festival.
Yes.
That's a different one, but they're right. They're like across.
We attended that, and it was across the street
yeah.
from the Pageant
That's right.
of the Masters.
Sawdust Festival is fun. Pageant of the Masters, if you haven't been, for those who aren't familiar with it, it's one of those things they spoof on Arrested Development when you watch it. You know the episode where
if you don't know,
I encourage you to watch Arrested Development. What happens in Pageant?
We're assuming you watch Arrested Development.
Hey, everyone should watch Arrested Development. What happens in Pageant of the Masters is they are what do they call it. It's called a tableau vivant or something like that, which basically means living art. And what it is they take real life 3D people and recreate two-dimensional paintings on stage, and with the lighting and the makeup and all the stuff they do, it looks like a two-dimensional painting. It's weird. And so you sit there in an amphitheater in Laguna Beach in the bowl and watch them do this for an hour and a half while the guy narrates the cheeky narration and the orchestra plays. You feel very high society and classy.
And then is it just one painting?
No. It's a bunch of different ones. It's a whole program. Probably 30-odd different works of art.
And then everybody, so like a painting's worth of crew comes out on stage and strikes their pose.
Yeah, and it's fun because they show you some behind the scenes aspects of it, like because sometimes they just open the curtain and turn on the lights and there it is, just sitting there, and the people have to hold completely still. That's the, you know, they're in their pose and they don't move, and the music plays and the narrator talks about things about the painting and this and that, and you get to watch it, and then it ends and it goes blank, and then a new one shows up. And some were cool because they actually show, yeah, the behind-the-scenes aspect of it, where they actually show them, you know, wheeling in the one, and the people are still moving around, and they're getting them into position and moving all the pieces in place and adjusting their adjustable picture frame that they use.
Did they do Adam touching the finger?
No, they don't do that. They always end with the Last Supper, though.
Oh.
Da Vinci's. And in a sad, sad story. This is embarrassing for me, but because I love the show so much, I will tell it. I started to feel rather sick to my stomach right near the end of this thing. This is where you're supposed to laugh at me. It's true. And at first I thought it was just some stomach pains, and I'm like, oh, just get it. Because I knew in the program we were like on the last painting before the Last Supper. I'm like, I can ride this out. Until then I said, nope, I can't ride this out. So I got up, ran away, ran down the whole amphitheater.
You were that guy.
I was that. Well, it's weird. People are getting up and moving around a lot during this thing, which I think is random. So I missed the final piece, The Last Supper.
Poor Jeff.
I was sad. All because of Pizza Schmitza.
Now, I have to make this request just because I've heard it already.
All right.
How was your sacrament meeting today, Jeff? Was it well?
It was awesome.
Was there anything unique?
Yeah, the choir sang, and they did a wonderful job. I love directing a good choir. I love directing a good choir. It brings me joy.
Were there any sort of Mormon buzzwords that you heard?
Oh, my goodness.
Employed.
Okay. A talk was given that had a lot of good principles in it, actually, to the speaker's credit. The speaker is studying molecular biology, and so it was about the word of wisdom. And the speaker went on to explain the molecular components of various things in the Word of Wisdom, and telling us how, like, black tea is good for sunburns and how we should put black tea on our bodies. It was interesting, but there were a lot of moments when you're like, wow. Until one part when he talked about how grateful he was that, you know, we don't ingest things that are harmful to us because of the Word of Wisdom. And he used the expression, and I can't believe I'm going to say this on the show. He said, all of those people who are drinking ethanol and douche drinks.
Which, what is that?
I don't know. And I spent Elder Scorm asking guys if that's what he actually said. Because I wasn't sure. I was like, did I miss something? What does that mean? And who drinks ethanol? Here, have some corn fuel. Drink it. I don't know.
Wait, ethanol? You were caught up on the ethanol one?
No, I was caught up on the other one, but the ethanol one's still weird. I'm just choosing not to dwell on the douche drink.
What could that be?
I don't know. And maybe I heard him in...
I'm not willing to Google it for fear of what could come up.
My brother... No, don't Google that. My brother insists he said something else, and right now I can't remember what that was. Yeah, I don't know. That was funny, though. I was just like, what the heck did he just... Whoa, what's going on here? What is this? Great sacrament meeting. Loved it. Ugh, it was like they... It was on par with that music director in Seattle. So good. So good. So let's get down to the show today. Al's birthday bonanza. It's going to be good. And to honor Al... Oh,
is there more coming?
No, it just means we're going to have a shorter show with very little substance today. In honor of your birthday.
Oh, okay.
Short and without substance.
Just like the women I did.
I'm roasting.
Oh! Oh! Just kidding.
Yeah!
Just kidding.
Well, as you might imagine, folks, there's some stories, but as you might imagine, this has been a big week. There's been one major news item in the week, and I'm sure you can imagine what it was. Good old Proposition 8 was overturned by a federal judge this week. And, of course, this is more than just Mormon news. This is giant international news, even. Okay? This is a big deal. And so and
Jeff's going to tell us why.
Well, of course, the big
and
deal.
How
well,
it
well,
affects your life.
Well, I understand an injunction has been filed that does not. This overturns Prop 8 completely, like just saying Prop 8 is unconstitutional. Therefore, it's just null. That's it. therefore allowing gay couples to marry. But I know there's been an injunction to not allow them to marry right away while they, I don't know, figure stuff out or something or other. I don't know. Anyway, obviously this is not welcome news for those of us in the church after the great fight for Prop 8 back in 2008. You may recall this, Al.
I remember it well.
I'm trying to find the church did release. Here it is. The church released an official statement, of course, about this right when it happened, same day. So the church has issued a statement by the ruling, which was from Judge Vaughn R. Walker of the U.S. District Court. And the actual statement says, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints regrets today's decision. California voters have twice been given the opportunity to vote on the definition of marriage in their state, and both times have determined that marriage should be recognized as only between a man and a woman. We agree. Marriage between a man and a woman is the bedrock of society. We recognize that this decision represents only the opening of a vigorous debate in the courts over the rights of the people to define and protect the most fundamental institution, marriage. There is no doubt that today's ruling will add to the marriage debate in this country, and we urge people on all sides of this issue to act in a spirit of mutual respect and civility toward those with a different opinion. Sincerely, God."
Signed, Jesus.
So the church's statement really isn't anything surprising. Hey, we're disappointed. Hey, let's have civil discourse as we try to disagree over this, which inevitably all of us will. Good times. So that aside, this obviously opponents of Prop 8 are rejoicing, and proponents of Prop 8 have already filed an appeal. And this is what's going to happen, folks. Okay, I'm going to say it right now. Chances are, if you're going to get stuck with gay marriage. It's just the way the tide is going. Like it or not, that's probably what's going to happen. Because, okay, this will go to the next round of appeals, which goes to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Ah, yes, the Ninth Circuit Court.
What is the Ninth Circuit?
It is the one based in San Francisco, and it is famous for being the most liberal court in the United States of America. And so on appeal, they are not going to do anything. They are going to sustain it. Which means after that, it can go to the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court likes to let things chill and marinate for a while before they get to it. So this will be many years down the road if the Supreme Court winds up having to address same-sex marriage in the country. The makeup of the court could be different by then. Recently, the only appointments that have been made have been to fill retiree spots, not deaths. So the balance of the court is still, I think, 5-4, basically conservative against liberal-ish. So I don't know. They could vote on this, but at the end of the day, it's going to be an uphill battle for those who want to protect the institution of marriage. How do you feel about marriage, Al? You're very quiet.
Well, We've talked about it a few times on the show, right?
Sure.
And I think you're right. I mean, honestly, I don't think there's anything that we can do that's going to change the way that society's going, particularly because it's just the understanding of marriage. I mean, that's really what it comes down to is we understand it to be a religious sacrament that, you know, is similar to a civil union in rites, but there's a religious title attached to it, which is traditional in the sense that everybody now wants a piece of it, right? So, I mean, like the fact that it's come to be understood by everyone as that's what it needs to be. I mean, I remember watching, I think it was Ellen when she had
John McCain
on the show, right? She was just like John McCain's trying to defend his stance on gay marriage, and she's like, he's like, you can have a civil union, you know, what's wrong with that? She's like, it's just not good enough. I want marriage, right? And you have people like that that a lot of people, you know, want to kind of enable and want them to have all the rights that we have, all the, you know, yada, yada, yada. It turns into this very exceptionally personal kind of argument that is just hard to bring back into any sort of civility outside of saying, you know, all right, you can have whatever you want. Which, like, looking back on past societies, I mean, that's where you get into trouble is when you just say, all right, everyone gets everything. You know, we really have no expectations or kind of, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying, but like, as you as you let down kind of the walls or the barriers that you have up, kind of guarding society.
Yeah.
That's when and you just kind of let every opinion overrun everything else. That's when it all starts to kind of wash away. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm not preaching doomsday stuff here. I'm just saying that we're kind of due. We're due for it. You know, we're at that point where people are leaning that way and moving that direction. So I don't think anybody should be surprised that this probably will stand. And this is, you know, it's stood in a dozen other states. It's
four
already legalized.
Other states,
and,
but yeah.
Well, four other states. But
I know.
Yeah.
It brings into play an interesting debate, because aside from, you know, whether you agree with the issue or not, the debate has been, you know, is this one judge versus 7 million voters? We get down to the fact when you, because there's the whole argument saying, look, Californians twice have voted on this and said this is how they want it to be. That's a legitimate argument. And they can say, who is some judge to just come out and say, no, it's not the case. And people have gotten on this judge because Von Walker is publicly a homosexual. So, and many have gotten on the case like, hey, conflict of interest and all this and that. I guess I'm on the fence with that one, because he's a judge. Because, you know, people think, what, because you're gay, this has to matter to you. But part of me does kind of get it. Like, how could there not be some sort of bias there? A little bit?
Right.
At least a little bit of one, right? Because, like, what's he going to say? He's an openly gay man. Is he just going to be like, no,
said,
I don't like gay marriage?
Have said why they choose not to let the vote stand?
Well, it's just because no matter what is voted on, it's still easy to say that something is unconstitutional. And this is where the fine line is. We could debate something. What if all of California got up tomorrow and said, you know, blacks should once again be segregated from everybody else, right? And what if the whole state voted on it and said, okay.
Right, which votes were voting that way, or states were voting that way,
yeah,
back in the
exactly.
day.
Exactly.
Right?
So what if today everyone said, you know what, let's redo that, and say 70% of the state says, yes, I agree, let's segregate again. Good times. A court, in its capacity, because we do believe in the checks and balance system of government, where a court can check even the direct democracy of its people, can say, kind of trampling on civil rights here. And I guess that's where there's kind of a give and take there, because it's easy to say, yeah, but we define what our society is. But then we get into the point where someone can say, you know, they can say, this is my civil right. And they can say, yeah, but we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. That is, we base our values in Judeo-Christian this and that. Other group of people say they don't want to do it that way. It's hard, because then those who favor marriage can say, great, you want your civil rights to be married. But then they can say, what about, I feel that is not in line with my view of the United States, you know? And so it's the great debate of, it's hard to say. It's like, what do we base our laws? Do we base it in tradition? Do we base it in Judeo-Christian ethics? Or do we base it in straight up civil rights that are, you know,
right,
no way part of religion? There's so many gray areas here. And so there are no easy answers, but I get the point that a lot of people are mad, like saying 7 million people voted on this. What about them? But I do feel in a sense that this is part of our constitutional democracy. I don't believe a lot in activist judges that go after stuff, but this wasn't some guy who just made a ruling. The case was brought to him.
Interesting all the same. I mean, it's kind of a fascinating debate. It's, for me, like, politically, it's just fascinating to watch this kind of all unfold.
Yeah. I mean, this is judicial review. This is Marbury versus Madison. This is what this is all about. Yeah. So it's a question of whether we are trying to I don't know. Because I think in this term of like, well, yeah, but if the people decide how they want their society to be, that's what it is. And when you get down to that, it does make morality relative, which is kind of funny, because that is exactly what those who support Prop 8 are arguing against. You know, but it is their relative reality. It's our morality. It's what we choose we want it to be. It's so freaking complicated, man. I don't know what's going to happen.
Really, I mean, all anybody can do right now is just kind of sit back and see where the chips fall, right? I mean, there's no amount of protesting or naysaying or jabbing or political talk showing that's going to change really anything. I can't imagine anything anybody can do right now that's going to change the way things are going. I mean, essentially, it's up to the courts to decide it, right?
It's true, and it depends on what equal protection is, so... stay tuned. This is by no means over. This is just going to go back and forth until the end of days, everybody. So, that's just how it
eventually we'll let Jesus kind of come clean on it. Yeah.
So let's please go to lighter topics. Go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, In other news, well, anyway, good discussion, Jeff. That's appreciate news. you explaining all that and going through it.
Thank you.
In other news, it's kind of an interesting little bit of news. There was an LDS Church member who was running it was a securities fraud operation, right? Well, so he's accused of running this. And so he was fraudulently bringing in money and making money on this stuff. And the funny thing is he's paying tithing on it. So the man, he paid $160,000 worth of tithing on fraudulent money that there's now a suit being brought against the church to get that money back. So they're suing the church for the $160,000 that was essentially 10% of the security fraud, bounty, I guess, that was taken in to pay back the investors that were scammed. So the interesting thing to me is just is the church accountable to give that money back up?
I don't see how they wouldn't be, because it's dirty money.
The church
will not accept. They won't accept lottery tithing.
Right. The church spokesman said that the church has a long-standing policy of not profiting from ill-gotten gains. So
I think that would seem the church would just play ball then and give it back.
Well, so I kind of expect they will. It's just kind of odd for them to go after a religious donation, I would think. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I just don't. I've never heard of.
It makes perfect sense. This is a company that is trying to recuperate what it lost through fraud. They don't care who has the money. They just know that they lost blank so much money, and a portion of that went to the church's tithing. So,
but is there any protection to a religious institution? Like, if Bernie Madoff would have thrown a couple mil to the Catholic Church, would they have gone after the Catholic Church?
No, because no one would dare go after the Catholic Church.
No, I'm asking seriously, though. Like,
I get what you mean. It's hard to say. I don't know.
Anyway, not really.
I think the church, I think just from a straight point of view, I think the church, I don't think the church is going to be like, no, this is our money. It was paid to us in tithing. I think they'll say, yeah, this is tithing that was paid with money that was not earned, which is against the Lord's law.
Well, so Scott Trotter, the spokesman for the LDS Church, said that the receiver's claim is being evaluated, and then gives that quote of the church has a longstanding policy of not profiting from ill-gotten gains.
That makes sense.
There's a lot of great folklore that surrounds people paying tithing on ill-gotten gains and the hilarity that ensues. But, you know.
Of course, the church spokesman might want to be careful when he's saying we don't profit on this and that. The church itself isn't supposed to really profit on anything. I mean, that's how we get tax-exempt status. So,
we are a nonprofit. It's true.
We are, but our holding companies are not. So, there it is.
They are an aggressive...
Oh, I know.
Money building.
I will always remember that old Time magazine article from 10 years ago called Mormon Inc.
Yep.
Remember that one? That was a very fascinating article, because the church doesn't disclose its finances. It doesn't have to.
They're good at what they do, though, man. They got some smart people.
Oh, yeah.
Running the trust funds.
They've got absurd. Yeah, it's amazing.
And why not?
Church is worth a lot of money.
They've come a long way, especially from failed banks back in the day of trying to...
Yeah, I was about to mention Joseph Smith's failed banks. But you beat me to it.
There were three or four of them. They would establish them with the... Or even the stores and stuff, and let the members buy shares so that they could support the church. So they could just have something to stand on. And without fail, every time, they would just go under and take all the money with them, and never worked out.
And now we are... And we've learned our lessons. How many people get MBAs at BYU now? Because we are money gurus now.
Perhaps.
We are. Mormons know money better than everyone else.
Perhaps we are.
Vote for Mitt Romney in 2012.
Anyway.
Do it. That's why the church has these ad campaigns in small markets right now, showing everyone how normal Mormons are. It's all to prop up Mitt Romney's campaign.
Do you think that this is a play to get more Mitt Romney streamlined to the White House?
Yes. Because somehow they're going to work into the article about these fraudulent funds that, you know, Brother Romney would not have done this. He's a good, righteous man. I don't know what this is. I remember this. This sounds silly. I thought it was kind of funny that, did you watch President Hinckley's funeral a couple years ago?
No, I didn't.
In the conference center and everything. I went to the Stake Center and watched it, and it was very moving. At the very end, though, you could see that Mitt Romney was there in, the front rows. watching it. Harry Reid was there too. I mean, I get it, but at least Harry Reid was the standing House, the Senate Majority Leader for the House, a prominent person in society. I just felt like Mitt Romney being in the front row was like, you're a presidential candidate, which is something, but right now you really aren't. Are you saying the problems I had with this?
The governor of Massachusetts?
But he wasn't the governor
then.
The
Ronald Reagan of our generation?
He's just a famous Mormon, basically, who was running for president.
Right. Well, David Archuleta was sitting next to him, so.
David Archuleta was a non-entity back then, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I don't know. I get it. That's like having, like, the Osmonds sitting in the front row. Like, hey, famous Mormons, unite. Come together. You should be in the front row. I felt like Truman G. Madsen should be in the front row.
Truman G. Madsen was dead.
No, he died last year.
Cleon Skousen.
Sure, him. Yeah.
Maybe.
By the way, if we're speaking of LDS scholars, can I give a shout out?
Yes.
Can
yes.
I? To Brad Wilcox.
Oh,
Brad
I love Wilcox? Brad Wilcox.
Okay. The man is terrific because he spoke at the, you remember the Irvine Firesides when you were here? He spoke at it, the last one. Great, great, great speaker. I loved it because classic, you know, CES fireside humor kind of guy. You know, they're always slightly irreverent, I guess, as far as keeping us entertained. And then they bring it down to a spiritual level. He was great at the spiritual level thing, though. I felt like it was like spiritual intimacy. I mean, this guy was, it was just like bleeding heart awesome. And I loved
it. Oh, he's wonderful.
Anyway, yeah, I shot him off an email. I'm not done with my story, y'all. I shot him off an email a couple weeks ago because he gave this great analogy about piano lessons and how that is sort of a metaphor for the atonement. And if I can briefly to summarize it, it's that, you know, if you took piano lessons as a kid, who pays for it? Your parents pay for it. What do they ask for in return? That you practice the piano. So he said, like, does you practicing piano have anything to do with actually paying back the money, the debt that was paid to have the lessons? And of course it doesn't. You do something entirely different. And I'm butchering this right now. But it was all a metaphor for the atonement, and I really liked it. So I sent him an email and said, hey, thanks for this. Is there a copy of this analogy anywhere just so I could file it away and have it, read it, you know?
And what did
Brad
say?
The guy responds. He thanks me for my email, tells me how sweet it was. It's funny because I said in my email like that I wanted to butter him up and like in what I was going to say. And all he writes back, hi, Jeff, I love butter. And then he just continues on. Anyway, so he wrote an email. He told me where it was in one of his books, which is on my floor somewhere now. But I don't remember what it's called. Anyway, he said, you can get it at DeseretBook.com or in a Deseret bookstore, or just give me your address and I'll mail it to you. Last Thursday in the mail, I get a signed book from Brad Wilcox.
No way.
Guy is a rock star. I'm not saying this. Don't inundate the man telling him how much you love his stuff and hope for free books, people. I don't want to ruin this. This is special to me. None of you get free books.
He's like a man of he genuinely loves everybody. Like, he's just a very sincere and tries very hard, is my impression of him.
Oh, it was great. So I know that was a random shout out, but I was amazed that I wrote this guy. I just wanted him to maybe just send me like a PDF file or something that had this where he wrote it down. The man mails me his book and signs it. Come on.
Good work, Brad Wilcox.
Love him.
Good work.
And so moving right along with great things that make us happy in the church. TLC is set to start a reality show about polygamist wives.
tell me it's about the Duggars.
I wish it were about the Duggars. They already have one, though.
There's no way that woman did 18 all by herself.
They say that this show could easily be called Cody and Mary and Janelle and Robin plus 15. Like John and Kate plus 8 and the Daggards. Oh, beautiful. So apparently the show is called Sister Wives. Because not only are they polygamists, they're also sisters.
It's not weird.
That's even weirder. Sisters?
What does this have to do with Mormonism, sisters? Jeff?
Absolutely nothing. We renounced polygamy 100 years ago.
Hundreds. No, 100.
In 1647.
Sorry, I'm coughing. But, no.
Anyway, I love...
Have you ever watched Big Love or any of those...
I've never actually watched. I've seen bits and pieces of Big Love, but never actually just like sat down and watched an episode.
I'd imagine it's probably pretty fascinating. Well, because I don't know much about polygamy nowadays, anyway. So perhaps after Kate plus 8, which is what it's called now that John has left, that monster. After Kate plus 8, Maybe I'll stick around for John and Ashley and Mary and Susan and Jorge, and we will watch them plus their 15.
I love it. So I will totally watch this show. Totally. It's like Big Love, but for real.
I just can't imagine. I mean, I wonder what the makeup crew is going to do. The lady's got to be like, oh boy, we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, except at the end of the day with 15 kids plus four wives and a husband, there I think are still fewer people than on the Daggard show. So,
but like, do you pluck the unibrow thing or do you leave it, just let it go? Is that good TV, bad TV? Who's to say?
So it's interesting, and they will not reveal, of course, where in Utah they live because it is illegal, even though we don't always go after it very much. But it is illegal, so they won't. I don't understand this one. They won't reveal where they live, but they're going publicly about being a polygamist family. People have to actually know them. Ergo,
as long as you're not married, is it seen as polygamy, like legally?
Well, that's a good point. And it's funny because the state doesn't recognize polygamous marriages. So basically, what's to stop them from a man who just wants to be a player and have a bunch of kids with different women? I mean, you can go to Arkansas and find that every day, just normally.
Every single day.
Just men who just, you know, just impregnating women.
Just
all
doing
over the place.
Their thing, man.
It ain't easy to be wild.
Amen.
Easy to be wild. All right.
All right. So.
I just think this is awesome. How are they not going to be found out, like, where they are and where they live? And blah,
the
blah,
saga
blah, blah.
Continues.
You raise a good point, though, Al. It says that they decide that they are married, but if the state doesn't recognize polygamous marriages, then, like, then what? Then it's just a dude who jumps around to different women, and they live together. That's a good point. How is that illegal?
So,
On that, though, sorry. This could get interesting as a side note with all the Prop 8 stuff. The first thing that pops in my head with Prop 8 is what is to stop polygamists from arguing that their civil rights are being trampled upon by polygamy not being allowed. And by the logic of Prop 8 being legal, or sorry, being struck down and gay marriage being legal, it's hard to argue that, like, why can you deny this to polygamists? How can you deny someone of marrying their hamster? You
know, well, and the gay rights community kind of strikes that down, saying that that's just outlandish and would never happen, right?
Well, it's funny. How dare that community strike something down as outlandish? Because what is important to them, they might not be important to somebody else, but what's important to other people, they don't have to understand it, but that's important to some other group. You know? And by the same logic, what is to keep polygamists from arguing that they have a right to happiness and liberty and living life the way they see fit?
Would be interesting. Dude, that'd be fascinating.
That will be the church's worst nightmare if the polygamy stuff gets... I was talking about this with my mom. I could see it being a nightmare for the church, but that could also be a good PR opportunity, couldn't it? For the church to have a really big public forum to say, we don't condone this. Like,
oh,
quit thinking we do. And if the church were actually, for all the flack they got for Prop 8, if the church were as in the mix as much to make sure that polygamy stayed illegal, I think that could do a lot of good things for exposure, for understanding that the church does not support polygamy.
That's a good point. That'd be a good...
Let's write Tom and Henry and Dieter and see what they think.
Those boys need to know. They need to hear about this.
Well, you're the one who was like, apparently they don't understand that church schools are messed up. I'm writing a letter to get rid of them. It's over.
I just felt like they need to be tipped off. Maybe no one had said anything.
Okay, fair enough. All right, move on.
All right, so we're we want to touch on real quick. There's a couple of blog posts on Mormon buzzwords this week, which not this week. They were sent to us this week, and we kind of like this. We have our pet peeves and. Some of them, so the article touches on a couple of them, one being inappropriate.
Meaning the word inappropriate.
Right, because everything can be inappropriate, he says, from first-degree murder all the way back to leaning back in your chair and everything in between. It describes nothing objectively right or wrong. It just tells that the speaker disapproves of the action to which it's applied. The other one is astray, where you say someone went astray. What does that mean? What does it mean to go astray? Does that mean they're not coming to church? They've left the church entirely? They quit paying tithing? Like they are receiving a misrevelation. What does that mean? To go astray? People?
It's true.
Or what about anything that, like, prepositioning something with even? Where you say, an even this, or
oh,
even
like,
the...
I've never understood the even thing. Like, when they close and, you know, they say, like...
Jesus, even
in,
the
in
Christ.
In the name, even, yeah. I don't, yeah, I've never understood that myself.
Me neither.
Like, why do they say even? To say, like, equal to? Like, I've never understood the even. I'm dumb.
Or what about the this day? We thank thee for the blessings we've received this day. That doesn't
okay.
work.
Okay. Do you want to know some of my pet peeves?
Let's hear them.
Lately in my ward, whenever they start, I think it's been ever since the newer stake presidency came in, but that was 6 years ago. But ever since they've been there, they always start sacrament meeting by saying, "Hi, brothers and sisters, we welcome you to sacrament meeting and to come and worship in the name of JC." And for some reason, it bugs me, because every time they say, I feel like it feels like born again to me for some reason. I don't know it. I mean, that's what we're there to do. It's true. For some whatever reason, I'm always like, why do you always say this?
I like that. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
My only one other one that I can think of right now. This isn't as much a word that bothers me as much as people need to learn how to say it. The word is called irrevocably, not irrevocably. Irrevocably. Irrevocably.
Irrevocably decreed. No,
that's what, there was a lot. Irrevocably. Every time people say that, I go, it's irrevocably. Stop saying irrevocably. That is not a word.
Or what about when we deify the entire congregation and end our testimony in the name of thy son?
That is also one of my favorite ones, and a member of our bishopric does that routinely.
And it's an honest accident. You know it is.
I know,
like,
yeah.
But you look at him and you're like, really? Our son?
Well, it's just one of those classic things when you sit there and think, like, are you thinking about what you're saying right now? Or is this just become...
You never are when you get to the finish sentences. Name, amen.
Well, then that's something we need to work on in the church, because ending a testimony in the name of Jesus Christ is an important thing. That is an important expression to end the testimony that way. And I think it is a problem that we so casually just throw it out there. Like, it's the coda. You just throw this at the end.
I also submit that we retire, nourish and strengthen. I know I've taken to using make this food tasty.
Yeah,
and people always look at me weird. They're like, what are you trying to do? You didn't say nourish or strengthen.
I know. I've tried to work those ones out. See, those are the places where regular prayers and testimonies, we need to change it up a little bit. And yes, ending in thy son when it's not an actual prayer always drives me batty, because I sit there like, what? I love this one right here. It just made me laugh. There's a list here on the post, people, that we'll show of other people's thoughts. Number 7, Al, if you want to look down, Tracy M. Reverence. The way we commonly use it has nothing to do with what it actually means, and it drives me batty. Folding arms and helping little kid still has nothing whatsoever to do with real reverence. And then, oh, and moisture. Please, just stop with the praying for it. That just made me laugh. I just picture people praying for moisture. It just made me, I don't know.
Hey, Lorenzo Snow is all about it.
I agree. So send us your buzzwords.
Anyway, yeah, I'm sure you've got some pet peeves going on.
Hey, you want to check in with the Zarahemla Times as we wind down today?
I think we're due.
It's time for our monthly check-in with the Zarahemla Times. Would you? It is your birthday, Al. You can choose who shall tell the story for this week's episode.
You tell it much better. Hold on. I'm surfing over there right now.
For August, the post from August 6th, entitled Personal Progress? Question mark?
Question mark?
And it says... this is... I always forget the family's name. You always remember what they're called. Jacob is the dad, and this looks like Naomi, his daughter. Isn't this one okay? Dad Jacob says, this is a lot more gear than what you brought to camp. And then he says, where's all this stuff come from? And Naomi says, don't worry about it, Dad.
And waka, then she says, waka, waka.
Just think of it as my personal growth. As she hugs Jacob. So I think he's supposed to think of her having a lot of stuff that she brought back from camp. And that's the... great quantity is like her personal growth. Yeah,
maybe. question mark
Beckstrom, help us out here, buddy. It's not working.
You gotta point us in a direction.
It's one thing, it needs to make sense to me. It's not obvious. I'm not very smart. I mean, when I watched Inception, I was confused for 2 hours, but come on. I can pick.
We are your biggest supporters. You know we are, man. You gotta throw us a bone.
Oh, at least the week before was remotely entertaining because they had baptism by canoe when they capsized their canoe. Huzzah! I love Kevin Beckstrom a lot.
The man is a visionary through and through.
He's a genius. Oh, a real quick shout out before we sign off. Open house of the temple in Ukraine, good friend.
Going on right now.
Started yesterday, so I wanted to make that announcement. Temple looks beautiful, doesn't it? Have you seen the photos on the newsroom?
I will see it in real life.
I do. So are you going? You're going to the open house. Do you actually have tickets for any of the dedication?
I do.
Actually,
so
we can't go in the temple dedication.
We can't go into the temple dedication. That's only for Eastern Europeans.
Oh, makes sense.
And yeah. With preference given to Ukrainians, and so we are in chapels.
Are you going to be in the stake center next door?
I think either the stake center next door or the Novodarnitsa stake center. Which is where I watched the Nauvoo temple dedication.
I know I've been to the Novodarnitsa one, right?
Yep.
Is that where we first went to church, or is that the place I don't remember which one's which.
It was so long ago.
I don't remember the street names.
I'm so excited to get back there, man.
Dude, this is going to be awesome. We're stoked for you, and we can't wait to get a report in a couple of weeks on how Ukraine is. The one request is you have to actually get Chilantanos and bring it back with you for me.
Dude, Chilantanos was so great. The $1.50 pizza that we'd always balk at.
I know. It's so funny how cheap we were. We're sitting there enjoying a favorable exchange rate against what are already cheap goods, exchange rate aside.
A Big Mac meal runs you about $2.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, $2.50 or so. So picture that, if you will. And we'd sit here and complain that they wanted to charge us the equivalent of $1 to take pictures in historical buildings. We're like, what are you talking about? I'm not spending money. What is this?
We'll hide it in the hat, dude. Straight up.
I know. We were pretty bad. So excited that you get to go see the temple there, though, man. It's so awesome.
I'll take pictures. We'll post them on Twim.
And you'll be there for the dedication. Are you going to be there long enough to do a session there afterwards?
Yep. I planned it just right.
Oh, dude. I envy you greatly. I'm going to quit my job and just go.
Come with me. Run away.
Come with me.
All right.
Well, folks, I guess that'll about do it, right?
It's good times, man.
Happy birthday again to our dear host, Al.
Well, thank you very kindly.
Who we should give credit. This podcast was your idea in the first place, so happy birthday to you.
But Jeff, you've carried us. You've carried us.
I think that we're a good team as far as the different things we bring to the table, so it works very well.
You with the radio voice, me with the quirky shock jock tunes.
Yeah. You know, I don't have much of a radio voice today, though. Too much singing and teaching. I'm spent.
Woe is Jeff. All right. Well,
That's it. Everybody, remember, please donate to Save Al's Arm Fund. Seriously, please do it. Just go there. Spend $1, $2. Who cares? Just do it quickly. And yeah, please do that. Please visit us on Twitter at twitter.twitters.com/TheRealTwim, facebook.com/ThisWeekInMormons, and of course, the flagship, ThisWeekInMormons.com, where you will find information to give us money to take care of Al's arm.
Thanks, everyone.
Huzzah. Thanks, Al. And this is going to be it forever. It's been real. Thanks, everybody. We hope to see you on the other side. This has been This Week in Mormons. Peace.